Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with the Basic Gospel. Keep listening, and you'll hear how the Basic Gospel intersects your life every day and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, that toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have a wonderful little resource we want to put into the hands of our listeners this month. It's a book that I wrote last year called Love Is. And it's a look at the definition of love as Paul laid it out in 1 Corinthians 13. Question of the day, why did Paul start out the definition of love with this phrase, love is patient? Lots of places he could have started, but he chose to start with patience. Why did he do that? I think when we explore that, we will see some incredible things about the love of God and realize why God had to be patient with us in such a way that enabled us to bring us to salvation. So let's talk about that question. Why did Paul start the definition of love with this phrase, love is patient? If you have an answer, call 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's program.
Call's beginning to come in, but friends, plenty of open space right now. Come on in, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, we'll kick the program off with a bang today. Listener from British Columbia writes, he says, I have a really embarrassing problem. I have a fantastic wife. That's not his problem, by the way. He has a fantastic wife. God has blessed me well, he says, but a blessing I certainly don't deserve. My addiction started off with pornography. I was able to stay away from porn for a while, but I would always get roped right back in. From there, I started to go to webcam sites and then to sexual escorts. I hate myself for this. I hate what I have done. I wish there were a way I could go back in time and take all of this back, but obviously that's not an option. I don't know what to do to make this better and to get over my addiction and get my life back on track. What do you recommend for this listener in British Columbia?
That's a lot there, and it's certainly not a problem that's going to be overcome in a brief period of time. And here's the reason why. Somebody that has chosen to submit themselves to sexual sin, they've conditioned their flesh to respond. And so whenever temptations come their way, their flesh is going to naturally respond to those temptations. And every time the flesh responds to those temptations, the person sits there and says, well, God, why aren't you helping me with this? Why aren't these desires going away? Well, the fact of the matter is those desires will never go away. The flesh is the flesh is the flesh. The flesh is always going to respond to the temptations of the world. And the flesh is always going to respond in the way that it's been gratified in the past. I mean, we develop habits. The flesh develops habits. And so this is a habit. So it's not something you're going to walk away from just overnight. So, therefore, you have to, first of all, start asking some questions. You know, as he was writing in his email, he was talking about, wishing to go back in the past, how he could change all of that. Obviously, he's feeling very bad about himself.
Right.
His self-image is lower than a snake's belly. I mean, and that's pretty low.
That's pretty low.
Can't get much lower than that. And that's what this guy's self-image is right now based on this pornography that he's gotten himself involved in and this sexual immorality that he's gotten himself involved in. So we have to step back and say, God, here's what I think about me. What do you think about me?
Sure.
What does the blood of Jesus, what does the good news of Christ Jesus say about me? And one of the passages that I think really speaks to this is in Colossians chapter 1, also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's talking about reconciliation, how God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus, not counting sins against us. So sometimes we think these sins that God counts them against us. And if that's the case, we have no hope. But the fact that Jesus died in our place gives us the hope that there might be victory sometime in the future. So that's where we have to start.
Yeah.
The second thing we have to do is recognize the nature of the flesh, and we have to set some boundaries to protect ourselves. You know, so often we want to live on the edge. We want to see if we're strong enough today to overcome the temptations of the world. We weren't strong yesterday. We gave in to them, but maybe today's different. And so we go right back to those places, and we find out we're not strong enough today either. So we have to set some boundaries. So if you, for example, on your drive home from work, from point A to point B, if your normal route takes you by a place that sells pornography or something like that, and you find that your car just happens to turn in that, you need to find a new way home. You need to go from point A to point D to point F to finally get to point B. You've got to bypass that. Why? Your flesh is always going to respond to that, and your flesh is always going to urge you and push you to making that turn into that parking lot. So you have to set some boundaries. That's vitally important. As Paul wrote in, I think, Romans 14, make no provision for the flesh. Yeah. We as believers make provision for the flesh all the time. And we wonder why we're constantly getting burned, why we're always giving in. Why? Because we put ourselves in the worst positions possible. So protect yourself. Why? It's not legalistic. It's just wisdom.
Sure.
You know that's not good for you. Turn off the internet. Change the programs you watch on television. Turn off the television. Do whatever you need to do to starve that fleshly desire.
Good answer, Bob. We appreciate that, and we appreciate the fact that calls are beginning to light up the board here at Basic Gospel. If you have a question, something you'd like to discuss, call now, because we do have some open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
So love is patient. Why did Paul start with that? Rika from Bronx, New York, listening to us on WMCA, has a comment. Rika, thanks for your call today.
No problem. I think the Apostle Paul started off with patience, because that's like the number one key role in knowing that you care for someone. You got to be patient with them to, you know, help them. You help a person become who they are once you're patient with them.
That is a great answer, Rika. I think you're exactly right. God knew Paul and knew that even though Paul was persecuting the church, even though he knew Paul was blaspheming against his name, making a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ, God still chose to suffer long with him, to be patient with him, because he had something in mind. And I love what Paul wrote to Timothy, that he was the chief of sinners, and that God express patience to him as an example for those who were to come after. If Paul is the chief of sinners and God dealt with him patiently to bring him to a point of salvation, he can do the same with us as well. So I think that's why he started with patience. So great answer today.
Thank you.
We appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you hang on, Rika.
As a matter of fact, Bob, we have open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time. We'd love to hear from you. As I was going to say, Bob Christopher's book, Love Is, that we'll be sending to Rika, is all about the truth of God's love for you, and it's available for you right now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. If you'd like to have a copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Love Is by Bob Christopher. Yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel right now.
Again, our question of the day, why did Paul start the definition of love with this phrase, love is patient? If you would like to call in and ask about that or comment on that, we would love to hear from you right now. The phone lines, we have plenty available. So take advantage of it, 1-800-677-9377. Let's go back to New York. We're going to go to Brooklyn and talk to Louise, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Likewise. Speaking about patience, I'm really going through a lot now. And the one thing that I don't have is patience, but it's like a tsunami is hitting. My health, I have to move. It's like one thing after another all of a sudden is coming. I'm doing pretty good with the getting off the drugs, you know. It's hard, but I've been sticking to it. But I would like to know if you could give me either a passage or a psalm to read when you're going through trial and tribulation, and maybe you could pray with me.
Well, Louise, the best verse that I know, and it's a passage that I go back to time and time and time again, is Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So, Louise, you have this wonderful promise of God to you. It's like he's just speaking to you personally and saying, Louise, I know all the things that you're going through. I know all the struggles that you are dealing with. I know the pain that's in your heart. I know the anxiety that you're feeling. I know the frustration that's going on inside. But I'm bigger than all of those, and I am promising you, Louise, that I'm going to take all of those things that you're going through right now, and I'm going to work them together for your good. You can count on that. And I think when we really understand it in those terms, this is the most meaningful promise in the Word of God, that we can experience peace in the midst of what we're going through, simply knowing the fact that God is committed to working those things together for our good. So, Louise, I think just in our short time of knowing each other through this radio broadcast, seeing how God opened up your eyes to see what salvation was, you praying to receive him into your life, some of the other conversations that we've had on the phone. Yes. As an observer, I can see God working these things together for your good. Just the nature of the questions you ask, just the sheer honesty and transparency you bring to the program in expressing what you're going through. I just see that as God doing incredible things in your life.
He doesn't talk to me. Maybe he does, but I just feel him there. I don't know if it's just in my mind, but I really, really, really want to feel him. I want all of him. I want him to take my will, you know, and the flesh is weak, and I'm fighting and battling with it, and it can't win, because Christ, he died for me, and I need him so much in my life.
Yeah. Louise, that you've just expressed, I think, something that's true for all of us. We want to fight the flesh. We want to win that battle. And God says you don't have to fight it anymore because I've already won that battle. Just keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes focused on me, the author and perfecter of faith. Jesus Christ won that battle. When he died, he said it's finished. And that was a cry of victory. The battle had been won. Once before you knew him, you were in bondage to the flesh. You were controlled by sin. But that power has been broken, and you can experience that victory simply by walking by faith in Jesus. As Paul wrote in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You don't even have to try to fight the flesh. Just the victory comes in walking in the Spirit.
When you say walking in the Spirit, I know you have other calls. I still don't get that. I don't understand to walk in the Spirit. In the Spirit, like,
well, to walk in the Spirit, Louise, is really walking in truth, allowing the truth of God to be the motivation in your life, to be the source of the decisions in your life. So the truth of God really is the truth about his love for you. So regardless of the trials and tribulations you're going through, God's love remains constant. So you walk in that truth. This isn't a judgment of God upon me for something I've done in the past. It's not a punishment of a sin that I've committed. It's simply life that I'm going through. And God's love is there for me through thick and thin. And I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk in that truth. So that's what it means to walk in the Spirit, is basically to walk in the truth, allow the truth of God's love to be the controlling factor in your life. And it says, when you do, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, and I want it all. I'm tired of that other life. I want it all.
Well, here's the deal. You have it all. Jesus Christ is alive, living in you. You've been given every spiritual blessing. Now it's just a matter of tapping into that and learning what you already have in Christ. That's what it means to grow in Christ, is to realize what you truly have in him. And that's a process. It's not something you wave a magic wand and all of a sudden you have the full experience of Christ in your life. It's a process and a journey that we're all going through. That's why we need each other. That's why we need to talk to one another and encourage one another. And so, Louise, as you call and ask questions, you encourage us. Love hearing your heart. Love hearing your desire. I mean, that is just over the top exciting to see what God is doing in your life, and keep walking that journey, okay?
I am.
And we'll walk it with you, and we're so glad we can journey together.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Louise. God bless you.
Yes, indeed. Time and open lines, if you'd like to give us a call, we would love to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Louisville and talk with Mary, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Welcome.
I have a friend, and I said, do you know what deity means? And she said, no. So that's one reason why I'm calling. Somebody like me doesn't know what deity means.
Well, Mary, that's a good question, and you certainly see that in the Bible. And, you know, if you're in Christian circles, you hear about the deity of Christ. So it's an important word to understand. Richard, how would you define the word deity?
It means godlike or godness, or it's if you talk about the deity of Christ, you're talking about how Jesus is God. It comes from the Latin word for God, Deus, or the Greek word Dei, and we've just transliterated it over into English and used it as an adjective.
So it's describing the Godhead of Jesus Christ. So when you say the deity of Christ, you're saying that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. So that's what that means.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does a little bit. He's godlike. Jesus is godlike, right? That's what
he's saying. Yeah, in his nature, in his essence, he is God. Like you and I, we're human beings. That's our nature. That's our essence. But for Jesus Christ, his essence, his nature, is deity. He is God in nature. That's his essence. That's who he is. He's not, you know, he was fully human, but he was also fully God. And that's the distinction. We will never be deity. We'll always be human. But when we receive Christ and he comes to live inside of us, we get to experience what true humanity is all about. We get to flourish as human beings, but we will never be deity like Jesus.
Okay. All righty.
Well, good question, Mary. Thanks for your call today. Let's go to Worcester. Let's talk to Robert, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, how you doing? I really appreciate your the simplicity, the way you describe the gospel. God bless. My situation, I've gone through a lot of different things in my life, and I just, not that long ago, I went through another divorce. I was married prior. I wish that my first marriage would have worked out and everything, but, you know, you can't take back what whatever has already happened. And I was brought up a Catholic, but I'm at a good Bible-based church, a Baptist church. I'm comfortable there. But I'm wondering what you feel like, and I'm not an old guy, but I'm 65. So I'm wondering about, like, meeting women. You know, there's some Christian dating services and things like that. I'm just wondering what your take is on that. I know you're supposed to wait upon the Lord for all things, and I'm trying to do that. But I just don't want to get back into the, you know, party scene and meet women that way. So that's basically it.
Well, Robert, here's what I would suggest as far as you're concerned. You know the desires of your heart. You would like to meet someone. You would like for that to become a thriving friendship and a relationship and maybe move into a marriage situation. I would put that desire at the feet of Christ. I would say, this is my desire, and I'm just going to leave it there, and I'm going to trust you with it. And do so. And then if you want to, you know, sign up for a dating service, that's A-okay. But again, you're leaving all of that, the results of it, in God's hands. The minute you try to press for something, you know, I've got to find a woman. I've got to find a mate. I've got to get married, is the time that you make yourself weak and vulnerable to any option that comes along. And that's not wisdom. So you want to say, Lord, you know best. I understand that you know best, and I'm going to trust you with this situation. And if you bring somebody into my life, I'm going to say thank you for that. And then when you do, I'm going to trust you to build the relationship in the way you want to build it, not in the way I want to build it. And most of the time, the way that works is you meet somebody, you become friends, you talk to each other about the Lord, your relationships with the Lord, what life in Christ means to you, and all of those things. And then just over time, God starts bringing you closer and closer together in heart until one day you say, hey, why don't we get married? That's a process. But let God be the engine running that process. Does that make sense to you?
No, it makes 100%. And actually, I actually try to turn everything over to the Lord. Health matters, relationships.
It's the only way to do it, Robert. I mean, if we try to take it on our shoulders to make things happen, we're going to mess it up. That's just who we are. So at some point, we need to trust the Lord, wait upon the Lord, let Him work these things together for our good in a way that is really meaningful and pleasing to us. Well, Robert, sure, appreciate your question.
Yeah, and, you know, the beginning when you mentioned about patience and all of that, and that's just it. You know, I'm not the most patient person, so I think the Lord has to teach me patience, to wait upon Him. And, you know, God is love, so, you know, the more patience you have, the more you turn it over to the Lord.
Absolutely.
You know, it should be a good fit. Absolutely. God bless you guys.
Well, you too, Robert. You hold on. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is. I think it'll be a big help to you. Hang on, okay?
Yeah, and as we close today's broadcast, we do so with the reminder that Basic Gospel depends on you, our listeners, to be able to remain on the air daily with the truth of God's Word and to express our thanks to you for your generous gift at this time. We'll send you a copy of Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. You know, God wants you to know that He loves you, that you can rely on His love. And when you abide in His love, you'll see that God's love never fails. It's all there, and Love Is, yours today for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To complete your gift and request your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. For Bob Christopher's book, Love Is. We'd love to get a copy and to your hands. Also, if you use social media, you're not alone. We use it too, and we hope you'll like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher and Richard Piper and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.